You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, obviously one of the biggest, if not the biggest, international story over the last year has been the barbaric and horrendous attack of October 7th. And we have recently commemorated that 1 year on since over 1,200 people were killed, 250 or so taken hostage. And I think it's about 100 people left unaccounted for, although sources indicate that many of those may have already been killed. And so the events of Israel are obviously something happening in the Middle East, but it has direct and immediate impacts here in New Zealand. So I'm very pleased to have joined the show Dr. David Koomen. He's the co-director of the Israel Institute of New Zealand. And David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry that I stumbled over your title. I seem to be doing this at the moment with a whole lot of things, but
it is a tongue twister. We made it purposefully difficult.
Oh yeah, it tests radio hosts. Hey, but obviously an incredibly serious topic. We continue to follow the news of what's obviously not happening around the hostages. In other words, Hamas is not releasing them. We have Hezbollah firing rockets into the region, the Houthis and others. It's a messy, complex situation. But I'm curious to get your take of what the impacts are here in New Zealand. How is it manifesting here? Because amongst other things, I know Labour MP was at basically a terrorist rally, if I could phrase it that way. Just talk us through what you're seeing and hearing.
Yeah, well, so Israel is fighting a war on seven fronts, with rockets coming from Gaza, from Lebanon, from the West Bank, from Iraq, from Syria, and from Iran, and of course the Houthis in Yemen. But as you've kind of outlined, there is an eighth front to this war, and that is the information front, and that's global. And we are not immune from it in New Zealand. The first part of it, I guess, is goes back to your introduction, which is this has been in the news a lot. The news hasn't reported on some of the atrocious things that have been happening in Sudan or Congo or Syria or many other places nearly as much as they've focused on this conflict. And there's possibly good reasons for all of that. But the coverage has not always been necessarily fair. There are still 101 people held hostage in Gaza, likely in tunnels, their fate unknown. There are still 70 to 100,000 Israelis internally displaced because they've had to be moved away from the northern border where Hezbollah have been firing rockets. There is a war ongoing. And the response to that war has been, unfortunately, similar to the response of previous wars, but more intensified because it's a more intense battleground. And by that, I mean there hasn't been the immediate support like there was after 9/11 for the victims of the United States and their battle against terror. There hasn't been nearly the outpouring of support as one might have expected in the aftermath of heinous, barbaric torture, mutilation, kidnapping and murder of civilians on that fateful day.
Well, there were protests. I mean, you know it better than I do. There were protests the day after in support of Hamas and condemning Israel, who at that point had done nothing other than seeing their citizens slaughtered. And it's just
correct.
Unfathomable to me.
Well, I think that says everything, doesn't it? The protest that happened before Israel had really responded, condemning Israel for responding, tells you everything that you need to know about the people who are protesting on that side. Now, I'd like to believe, and there are many days where I do, that the majority of New Zealanders see John Minto and the like, and Chloe Swarbrick, and the people who are protesting and disagree with their support for terror, essentially, or their strong condemnation of Israel for defending herself. I'd like to think that most New Zealanders believe that. I've had dozens of messages from random people expressing solidarity and support and wanting to know what they can do, and it's been heartwarming. And there are people of influence who have gone down some of the most atrocious rabbit holes, to the extent where we have the associate spokesperson for foreign affairs of the Labour Party publicly saying that whatever the Palestinians did on October 7th, and that is rape, torture, mutilate, kidnap, and murder civilians, is justified. Outrageous. Outrageous. We have, as you mentioned, a Labour MP standing next to a literal flag of a terror organisation, the PFLP. Not designated in New Zealand, so we need to be careful about that, but designated in most other civilised places. Not condemning anything. And the leadership of their parties not saying boo. No apologies, no strong retractions. It's deeply, deeply disheartening. And it's that kind of response that really worries me for the future, combined with actual anti-Semitic incidents. So synagogues being targeted, Jewish businesses being targeted, Jewish individuals being targeted with vandalism, with death threats, with threatening phone calls, with hate mail. It really has been a very difficult time, not only to deal with the fact that there's still 101 people held hostage in Gaza, but to know that there are people out there so hateful that they will target Jews in New Zealand because Israel's defending herself.
That harassment of our local Jewish and Israeli community, I think, is horrendous. And we've seen it echoed in Australia and Canada. I mean, obviously, many, many countries, but it's quite horrific because we've said since the end of the Second World War, never again. And yet we are seeing this being repeated. And perhaps it's linking into something you said, but it's almost been celebrated by a number of these protests and even at times through the media. So this must create, if I'm not presumptuous, quite a disquiet for you and others.
Oh, very much so. And I celebrate is exactly the right word. There were people that were cheering on the Houthis when they were firing rockets and blocking trade in the Red Sea. There have been people holding signs at the Israelis saying globalize the Intifada. And for people that don't know what the Intifada were, they were periods of extreme violence in Israel where there were suicide bombs on buses and at pizzerias and outside nightclubs where parents didn't want to send their children on the same bus for fear that they both get blown up at the same time. It was horrific violence that these people want to, quote, globalize in New Zealand. It's deeply, deeply disturbing. It really is. I wish there was an antidote other than speaking the truth and continuing to show these people up for what they are. But when the leader of the Labour Party does not condemn one of his MPs for celebrating the slaughter of Jews, disquiet is really where we're at. I have to also say, on the flip side, New Zealand hasn't been as bad as other places. And that's not to say that things are great, but you mentioned Australia and Canada and others. You know, there have been Jewish schools in Canada that have been shot at. There have been Jews in Australia who have been viciously assaulted. So it is global. It is the Eighth Front, the information front, and the global fight against Israel, against Jews. But that's where we are, and it is. Disquiet is soft.
Yeah, and just to emphasise, actually, to agree and emphasise, I remain shocked at what, in this case, Damien O'Connor, so no relation of mine, but what he chose to tweet. In fact, I was initially thought, oh, this must be wrong, but appalling to justify what happened, and no apology. And might I add, actually, my own little commentary, I was struck but not surprised how little the media followed up. In other circumstances, if it wasn't to do with Israel, for example, I think an MP who had tweeted something so offensive and so gross would have been harassed day after day. But our media, Dave, has just let it pretty much slide. And then, as you say, MPs and others attending rallies with, you know, known terrorist symbols. It's like, guys, if you're supporting a terrorist group, you're on the wrong side.
Yeah, well, the PFLP partook in October 7th, and their flag waving in Christchurch is appalling. And then to have an MP standing there and not say anything about it is deeply troubling. On your point about the media, David Farah, I don't know if this is a competition or not, but he's written some very good blog posts about that, comparing the response that the media have had to Damien O'Connor with that of Todd Muller, who had a MAGA hat and was hounded for days. And comment from all sorts of sources. And here we have an MP essentially justifying terror and crickets.
Oh, it's unfathomable at one level. I suppose at another, we don't have time to go down that tangent. I think when you're dealing with evil, it begins to manifest itself in often unexpected ways. And I just it's deeply, deeply saddening and frustrating. I wonder if we could jump on to one particular issue. We haven't touched on it, and that's UNRWA. And you'll be better at explaining to listeners about it, but it's a UN group that is specifically focused on helping the Palestinians, but has been directly implicated in the events of October 7th and on. But also, and you and I know, because we used to talk when you came into a select committee to talk about it, that UNRWA has been involved with facilitating terror for years. And yet New Zealand continues to pay money to it. But I just wonder if you could give listeners a little bit of an insight around that.
Sure. So the United Nations Relief and Work Agency, UNRWA as it's known, was set up in 1947-48 to help get the Palestinian Arabs onto their feet, essentially. And it's continued since then and morphed into providing education and loans for jobs and all sorts of various services, some of which, of course, are needed. But as time has gone on, it's pretty clear that particularly in Gaza and West Bank, that this organization has incited terror, incited hatred, and promoted hatred in their schools. They use textbooks that have whole chapters glorifying the murder of Jews and celebrating terrorists. And I remember in 2019, the Israel Institute of New Zealand put together a little report that highlighted some of these issues, the hate in the textbooks being one of them, and thought, oh my goodness, we're going to go and present MFAT with something that they haven't really seen before, and of course they're going to change their ways, because why on earth would they be sending money to an organization that foments such hatred? That naivety was kicked out of me pretty quick. And to this day, the excuses have continued to the extent where we've put in OAA requests to find out if there are any other organizations that New Zealand funds that has employed terrorists, for example, or taught children to hate, for example. And the response from MFAT has been, no. We don't fund any organization that does any of that. And so we've recently lodged a complaint with the Ombudsman to say, actually, that's a lie. And you shouldn't lie in response to OAA requests. You can be transparent and say, well, they've had issues and, you know, we believe them every time they say they're going to fix them for decades and decades and decades, or we value our trade more than we value the lives of Israelis and Jews, or we need to protect Helen Clark, who's overseen some of this, and we don't want her to get in trouble, or whatever the reason is. I don't profess to know what MFAT are really thinking. But to outright lie and say, no, we haven't been funding terror, we haven't been funding hatred, we haven't been funding incitement is wrong. We have. And
objectively, it says me to you. I mean, we've engaged and talked before, but I remember fronting MFAT in select committee years ago with copies of those textbooks, as you say, glorifying the martyrs. So terrorists had gone and blown up buses and the like. And so forth, objective evidence, accepted, by the way, as you would know, by a number of other countries around the world who see the problem. But MFAT has always denied, prevaricated, sidestepped, which I was, and they know it very well. It frustrated me no end. And I must say too, David, therefore, very disappointed when this current government renewed the funding that New Zealand is sending money to an organization which supports terrorism. Appalling decision by the government.
Absolutely. I had a small hint of hope in my naivety that remains that Winston Peters might actually do the right thing on this front, but there are clearly reasons. It'd be nice to know what they are, at the very least. But it's also interesting that some other countries have decided to stop funding UNRWA. And there are lawsuits in some countries for NGOs that have fundraised for UNRWA. on the basis that they are materially supporting terror. And so one of the next steps might be to take a lawsuit against groups that have sent money to UNRWA. The most recent evidence, for example, is the Hamas intelligence headquarters was underneath the UNRWA headquarters building, and power and internet cables were running from the UNRWA offices into the Hamas server room. There is the head of the UNRWA teachers union, who is an active member of the Hamas. To say anything else is just adding to the salt that's already on the wound. And so it's pretty clear that if you give money to UNRWA, you are supporting terror. Perhaps one of the next steps is legal proceedings. We have the Terror Suppression Act that says you're not allowed to materially support terror. And here is an example.
And the thing is that, you know, if people want to, or governments want to be able to support aid into the likes of Gaza or the West Bank, there are other ways to do it.
Exactly.
And I think one of the arguments has been, and I always get the name wrong, but it's basically the UN Development Fund or whatever they call it, who does all the refugee and support work around the globe. Why not use them rather than this very corrupted organization that we know as UNRWA?
Yeah, well, so you're absolutely right. UNHCR looks after all the other refugees in the world, and UNRWA is dedicated to the Arab Palestinians. And part of the reason for that is because UNRWA has a very different definition of what is a refugee. So to be classed as a refugee under the UNHCR and everywhere else in the world, you have to actually be displaced and not have a home and be in desperate need. To be classed as a refugee by UNRWA, you can be a citizen of another country, for example. It's the most absurd, ridiculous twisting of words, but it perpetuates the notion that the land of Israel is for the Arabs to retake. Because if you're a refugee, but you're a citizen of Jordan, where are you a refugee of?
There's absurdities within absurdities.
Of the reason. That's the political warfare that UNRWA wages, separate to the hate that they foment in their schools and the terror that they support objectively.
And it's also, if I might add, that for the political realm too, that you've got a lot of people talking about a two-state solution while also supporting an organization like UNRWA that says really there's only one solution. So there's exactly. So many contradictions in this. But David, literally we could talk for hours, and I'm grateful that you've given me the time you have just to touch on a few details. But again, my thanks to you, not only to be talking to us, but also... I'm trying to find the right word. You can't actually thank someone for the experience that you and the wider Israeli Jewish community are going through, but just to acknowledge what this journey's been like, obviously over the last year, but for many years prior to that.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for everything you're doing.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.